Hi there, welcome to Lesson 2 of Intuitive Animal Communication, Level 4. So today we're going to be talking about different animals living in different habitats and how that can help an animal communicator knowing certain things that will attribute to each habitat. Let me explain. It took me a while as a medium going through the process of connecting with spirits on the other side to understand that culturally we are different based on the areas, the religions, the beliefs, the structure systems that we're raised in. So let me explain. If you live in Italy, you may be someone who is quite loud and you talk with your hands and you're very expressive. Now, I don't want to be stereotypical, not all people that are Italian are like that, but a lot of them are, and that's based on their culture and how things are passed down to them from generation to generation. If you may be someone living in Japan or China, they may be quieter, they may be more subdued, maybe a little bit shy. If you are someone who is from Czechoslovakia or places like Ukraine or Russia, they may sound abrasive or sharp with their tone, though they may not mean that way. It may just come out that way, as they're very direct people and they speak without fluff, if you will. So why would we think that the animals would be any different living in their habitats around the energy of the places where they live? Sea animals are going to speak very differently than an animal that was on a safari. And an animal that is in a jungle is probably going to behave a little bit differently than the forest animals. Now, obviously, each animal is going to be very unique and specific to its species. So a lion is going to have this roar and this energy of a lion. But it's also going to have the energy of the habitat and the safari where it lives versus the forest where the mouse lives or where the wolf lives. Those are different energies and different vibrations that flow in a very different form and in a very different way. So understanding that and knowing that prior to going into doing a reading, and whether it's you're doing a reading for someone and connecting them with their spirit animal, or whether it is that you're going in and doing a reading for someone who may live in Australia with a pet versus someone who may live in China with their pet. Remember that animals pick up on the energy of humans and the people that are around them and the energy and the space that is around them. The habitats, the eight habitats that we talk about in this lesson, are the desert, the forest, the grasslands, the savannas, the scrublands, the subterranean, the wetlands, and of course the marine animals. So the desert habitats are definitely dry, and I mean they get like 20 inches of rain per year. And so the animals that live in this area typically can be, you know, found as being a little bit more solo, if you will, or being a little bit more like, I don't know, every man for themselves kind of an attitude. You have owls and foxes and vultures and spiders and reptiles that live in, you know, desert areas. And so you don't typically see them living in packs. You don't typically see them being very family oriented species. So therefore connecting with that as a spirit animal for someone, if a spider comes in as a spirit animal for someone, then you definitely want to think about the fact that, okay, well, this spider comes from, you know, a desert dry area. It's a solo animal. It's definitely very independent. And you can put forward that, you know, you're going to see the basic meanings of what animals mean. Different interpreters have come through with them. But then think outside the box to where the habitat is that that animal is currently living. And then you have forest habitat animals. So you have a forest, you can have different types of climate. You can have, you know, rainforest, and then you can have like a forest that we see in Canada and BC. You can have animals that are up in the treetops, and you can have animals that are on the forest floor. So, It just depends. But you definitely, when you think of forest, you definitely think of moisture, you think of density, and then you can also think of animals that do thrive together, living in a habitat of family group nature. When you think of the grasslands habitat, we think of grazing animals, and we think of, deers and rabbits and animals that like to graze, but also you can think about grazing animals as being non-meat eater animals, and you can think about those types of animals as being non-violent animals and animals that may come in again, like when we refer to different places. That deer is a little bit more skittish. They might be a little bit more flight or fright. They might come in and just give you a couple of brief messages and then leave. They might not stand, centered to you like a lion would or like a bear would. Then you have the savanna and the African habitats, and you have, giraffes and tigers and elephants and lions and all of those animals. But really going through thinking about, well, what's going to be different if I connect with an elephant versus if I'm connecting with a grizzly bear? There's the obvious, very obvious. You can see the grizzly bear is a meat eater. You can see the grizzly bear has this really strong, ferocious sort of energy to it, and also this very protective energy. You can see the elephant as being very smart, very wise, very family oriented. But then take it one step further and look at the habitats of those animals. And that's where there's a host of other messages that can come through. The grizzly living in the, Rocky Mountains or Alaska versus the elephant living on the safari. When you connect with the energy of the safari, what do you feel? Like when you go in and you make that connection, you're like, oh, I'm on the safari versus I'm in Alaska. What do those places feel differently, like energetically? And to you, one may feel like, oh yeah, I want to be here. And one may feel like, oh no, I don't really want to be here. And that's all part of your reading. That's all part of your connection with those animals. Obviously, we don't want to be stereotypical where we lock into every single animal having to be that way. But we do have to think outside the box and pick up on the energy of places and the energy of habitats and the energy of countries and the energies of circumstances going around things. Listen, if you were connecting with grizzly bears and Alaska had just had, a giant flood or whatever it is, those animal energies are going to feel differently there. And if that animal is what's coming through to one of your clients and you're picking up on that, then whatever is going on in the world in that place is going to have some connection with that animal as well. I hope that makes sense. And I hope I've just pushed you a little bit out of your comfort zone to take it further and always investigating. I call it pulling your thread, going a little bit further, diving in a little bit more, and really going down the rabbit hole of where the animal lives, where it thrives, what it connects to, what it uses, what's in its environment, what's in the energy around it. And there's where I think there's a host of more messages that you can be getting to your client, whether it's spirit animals you're connecting with, or pets and animals that are connected directly to them. I hope that makes sense. I look forward to chatting with you again soon.